Thanks, Farah. So I've got a slightly different presentation to give to you today. First off, I'm instead of looking at forest ecosystems, I'm going to be presenting some work in rangeland systems. Although the one caveat to that is that the techniques and approaches I think are generally applicable and can be applied in forest ecosystems. So you can kind of keep that in mind as you hear this presentation. The other is I'm using digital soil mapping techniques, and I thought this would be a nice to present to the S7 instead of keeping it in the S5 division. So today I'm going to be presenting some of the work that we've been doing in southern New Mexico at the Jornada Experimental Range, using hypertemporal remote sensing to develop tools and techniques for classifying land change and better informing land management. So at the Jornada, we work a lot with federal land management agencies to help them improve their monitoring of natural lands, to understand how these lands are changing. And as you can see from this figure, principally in the western part of the United States, you know, vast expanses of the West are federal public lands. And these lands have a range of different land uses, a range of different effects from natural disturbance, and then the increasing effect of climate change. And so all of these factors are affecting the sustainability and the resource of the land over time. And we've been seeing, you know, accelerated rates of change over the past several decades. And in response to that, various federal land management agencies are developing new assessment inventory monitoring plans to better quantify how change is occurring. So, and principally this is in three components: inventory, assessment, and monitoring. Inventory to quantify what the natural resource is, to assess its current condition, and then to be able to monitor how the condition of that resource is changing over time. And one of a useful framework that's being adopted for understanding change is the ecological site. And so ecological sites is a land potential-based classification system. And it's founded on the idea that if in a similar climatic region, we would expect that soils with similar properties will support similar vegetation communities. And that these similar units on the landscape are going to respond in a similar way to both different land management actions as well as natural disturbance. So when we begin to look at what are the effects of these different landscape change drivers on the landscape and within this ecological site framework, we can begin to see and observe changes that occur in the landscape. And so, for instance, in southern New Mexico, it's been well documented over the last 100 years that a lot of the native grasslands are converting to shrubland ecosystems as a result of overgrazing and other unsustainable land management actions. And so these dynamics have been quantified in state and transition models. So these are conceptual models that help us to better understand, given a specific soil and the vegetation communities that it supports, what are the possible different phases or states that can exist on that soil unit as a result of different land use pressures. So, for instance, we have our grassland, as it's disturbed, it can go to various different phases where there's a mix of shrubs and grasses, and then finally through continued degradation, it can result in a state where it's a shrubland ecosystem. So this is a useful framework for management, but ultimately, we manage lands on a landscape scale, and we need to have information about what's the resource and how it's changing, so we can better effectively manage those lands. And so, oftentimes we utilize Surgo data, and NRCS maps ecological sites at the Surgo level, where we'll have a map unit. And associated with that map unit are potentially several components, and each component has a designated ecological site. So for this map unit, there could be three, four ecological sites, and we don't really know where those are or the condition of those ecological sites. And so there's been a lot of recent work to do a disaggregation, to actually determine where the ecological sites exist on the landscape. And this is a very labor-intensive process, so it requires a trained technician utilizing Sirgo data, ecological site descriptions, state and transition models, and then digital ortho photo quarter quads, where these 1 meter resolution imagery, where you can go in and digitize visible differences in the landscape. And then the next step is to utilize ground point data, and then to attribute those polygons with a ecological site and an ecological state description. So this is this format is, at this level is incredibly useful for land management, but to get to this point is difficult. And so we're investigating different approaches. And our methodology is really based on the idea for these ecological sites. If we're in the same physiographic region, we have the same climatic variability, that a given soil and its properties and vegetation community will respond in a similar way to that climatic variability over time. And so that if we can then characterize this soil vegetation response to climate, then we can get a better handle on differences in the landscape. And so the idea was, can we use hypertemporal remote sensing to more efficiently map ecological sites and states? And so with hypertemporal imagery, I'm talking about hundreds of images. And so if we have a stack of images, we can drill down and extract a pixel stack from that, and then we can plot out a time series of NDVI or some spectral indice observation throughout time, and this really serves as a spectral fingerprint of ecological sites. Additionally, so that gets at our inventory of the sites that ecological sites that exist on the landscape. But we're also interested in the state of those sites. And so using time series decomposition techniques, if we have 2 points on a landscape that are classified as the same ecological site, if we can extract their time series, so they have similar signals but they're slightly different, we can use time series decomposition techniques, and then we can really get at differences in the phenology and also the interannual trends. We can look at significant differences, and then we can use that to determine differences in vegetation communities and ecological states. So utilizing that framework, really we had 3 steps, an inventory step to be able to predict ecological sites, an assessment step where we could assess the ecological states using this time series decomposition, and then the third one is monitoring, so using time series and trend detection to see if we can detect significant changes in the landscape. And then all of this was implemented in our statistical software. So our study location is in southern New Mexico at the Jornada Experimental Range. It's in the northern reaches of the Chihuahua Desert. So it's an incredibly dry, arid ecosystem. And so I'm going to focus in on this area here, a sub-region of the Jornada. And this is a representation of the Sirgo map units that exist within there. And so you can see this is relatively coarse. Here's an example of this disaggregation step done by an expert technician at the Jornada. So you can see there's a lot of detail in here that was manually digitized and created. So we want to know, can we recreate something like that in a more automated fashion? And so typically people, the end user of ecological sites, they'll get the Sirgo data. Because there's multiple components and multiple ecological sites in here, they'll select typically the dominant component and attribute its ecological site. And so when we do that for this area, we end up with 2 ecological sites, a sandy and a shallow sandy. So there's not a lot of information here in terms of being able to manage the landscape. Conversely, this is the disaggregation done by the technician, and this is the resulting map that they created. And here we went from 2 ecological sites to 9 ecological sites, and you can see it better characterizes the variability, and there's quite a bit of a range of soil textures and supported vegetation communities. And so really, need to manage those units differently. So having this information is really important. So our approach that we proposed was to use point data that were people went out into the field and actually verified that it's that has a particular ecological site and state. And then coupled that with Landsat 5 imagery spanning from 1984 to 2012 at a 16-day increment. So this totals 628 scenes. And then we input that into a machine learning algorithm called support vector machine classification. And then we got this result here. And so we were able to key out the dominant ecological sites that the expert here, some of the really small drainages and other roads and stuff didn't come out in here. But we're pretty happy with the result. We got a 62% correct classification. The expert one was 89%. So there's definitely room for improvement, but this is a much faster approach, and that could be done systematically across large, vast landscapes. So that was the inventory step, mapping the ecological sites. And the next step was, can we then understand what's the condition of those sites, or what's the state of those sites? So we're investigating various types of approaches. The one I'm going to present today is called DFAST Monitor. It's a time series decomposition technique. So essentially you extract a pixel stack. You can plot that here. So you can see the change in NDVI over time. The algorithm then splits the time series into two sections, a historical period and a monitoring period. It retrospectively fits or establishes a stable baseline in this history period, and then it fits a linear harmonic model to that data, and then it evaluates all new data relative to that model, and then can determine if there's any significant deviation from that model. It will identify the timing and also the magnitude of that deviation. So we did this over a 22-year period at two-year increments. So we set the monitoring period for 2 years and then shifted it ahead 2 years. And so we were able to then identify significant changes in the landscape at each two-year increment. And so this is showing significant negative change. And this range here shows the magnitude. So we have increasing magnitude of change going to yellow and then to red. So you can see there's quite a bit of variability over that 22 or 24 year period. Okay, and so this shows us the number of breaks. So we compile all that and we can see that. So we can see that there are some areas that had very few breaks here. And when we look at where that corresponds to in terms of our ecological sites, and we look at the frequency, we can see that those areas that are not changing are clayey and some of the loamy sites. So these are sites that have fine textures, high water holding capacity, and therefore can retain moisture and are they're more stable in the landscape. We can also then look at just the highest magnitude breaks, and this presents a different pattern. And we can compare that to our ecological site map. What we see is that the loamy sites, or some of the loamy sites, are actually experiencing a lot of change. And so when we go back to our ecological or our state and transition models, we can see that these loamy sites are actually transitional environments between the clayey bottomlands and the sandy uplands. And so these are sites that are more susceptible to change, and therefore need to be managed more effectively. And so this is it's showing to be relatively useful. And here's just a blow-up of that, looking at the number of breaks for these loamy sites relative to the ecological state classes. And we can see that there's fairly good correspondence in certain regions between the number of breaks that we see and the ecological state class, where the green is a pristine condition and grading down to white being a more degraded condition. And so in conclusion, this hypertemporal approach is effective in predicting ecological sites in these arid rangelands. Future work will be to add terrain attributes to help improve those machine learning models. And then our state mapping efforts are promising, but they need some more refinement, and we're investigating some additional methods to refine those. And then future work is to test this approach in other ecosystems, like forest ecosystems.